Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing Sleeping in the Arms of Jesus, and this is volume 19, September 15th, 1926. Luisa begins, after writing for 4 hours and more, I was feeling completely exhausted in my strength. And as I began to pray in his most holy divine will, according to my usual way, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. So here is, this is important for us. We are reading, and a lot of people say there's so much to read. And yes, it becomes our life. The divine will becomes our everything. As you read, as you study, you really enter into heaven while on earth, listening to Jesus speaking to you, listening to Jesus guiding you and directing you. And this is, again, something that's so amazing. We can be exhausted as you're reading. And this is a good sign. When you're entering into the spiritual life and you're getting involved, you become tired. You become exhausted. Say, for example, you make a 3-day retreat. Usually what happens is the first day and a half, you're sleepy, you're tired. That's grace. When you enter into the spiritual life, grace will exhaust you. Why? Your spirit, your heart, your mind, your soul is entering into a new beginning. If you have a 7-day, if say you go for away for 7 days, you're usually 3 days, 3.5 days, you're sleepy, you're tired. Why? The Lord knows how much time you're going to enter into this spiritual union with him. And you become, you at that point, you're being filled with grace. If you go on a month retreat, and you know, that's a, if you want to go on a good month retreat, go on a silent month retreat. The first, if you want to say 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, you sleep. You're exhausted. This is a good sign. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you're slothful. It's you're entering into a spiritual realm. For the human, it seems like it's exhaustion, but you're being grace filled. So here she's writing for 4 hours, and again, we have a lot to read. If you read the if you're reading the rounds for Easter time. I love the rounds of Easter time. They're so filled with life and light and love that as you enter into this, you want to continue to pray the rounds throughout the day. As you're reading the calendar, some days the calendar is long and you have more than, you know, 5 pages of reading. But what happens is you become tired. Okay, here she's saying, feeling completely exhausted in my strength. As I began to pray in the most holy divine will, according to my usual way, we enter into the prevenient act in the morning. The first thing that we do when we wake up, we fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say to our God, our triune God, the way you're teaching me through Luisa is to be fused to Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. So you say, Holy Trinity, I want to fuse myself with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in order to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that was given to Luisa. And if we really have read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, you begin to understand that the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. So under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary.
Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Well, how can that be? How can that possibly be? Well, because when we pray the prayer that the church has taught to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, that's us, hopefully, send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Okay. Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle us, I forgot that part, enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And that's what happens when we're reading the book of heaven. God is teaching us to learn what the spirituality of the Holy Church is about, not just through the saints, not just through the dogma and doctrine of our church, not just through the tradition of our church, but not through just the whole sacred scripture, but from Jesus's perspective, from Mary's perspective. And this is why this is the sanctity of sanctity. It's to enter into this abundant life of the new Adam, Jesus, and then the new Eve, Mary. And Jesus says, now at this point, we are at that time when this new beginning is going to happen for all the church and the world. It's not a new revelation of redemption. It's now to begin to learn how to live the a life of sanctity. This is the sanctity of sanctities, as Jesus teaches Louisa. So when you read this, this is what's happening to us. After reading for 4 hours or more, just think about that. Louisa wrote, and our job is to read what Louisa wrote. And what did she write? What Jesus dictated to her, what Our Lady dictated to her. And this is what we're learning. We're beginning to learn how to possess this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, from the perspective of Jesus, the perspective of Mary. Jesus would say to Louisa often, these writings are not about you. These writings are about me. These writings are me. It's what Jesus wants us to begin to live. So after reading for 4 hours or more, I was feeling completely exhausted in my strength. We can say that. And I began to pray in his most holy divine will, according to my usual way. That's the prevening act and our actual acts. And what happens? My sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. This is where Jesus dwells, in the interior of Louisa. And that's what he keeps on telling us over and over and over again, that he, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, wants to reign in us. So what happens is he teaches Louisa how to consecrate our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus so that this becomes his throne. Jesus teaches Louisa that the Father wants us to consecrate ourselves to him so that he reigns as king within our souls. And it's the same thing to begin to understand from a divine perspective with our minds. We want to be filled with this Ruah of God, this breath of God that Adam lost when Adam began to live in his human will. That image and likeness of God was gone. And we fell from such a height, Jesus tells Louisa, that it was a miracle that Adam survived. So what does that say to us? Our DNA, let's look at our DNA. You know, what does it look like? What is it? What does it resemble? Okay. It was supposed to, in the beginning, be in God's image and likeness. But what's happened since Adam left the will of God, the divine will of God, doing his own human will. Our DNA says to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die, become food for worms. That was never part of God's plan. And what our God is trying to do is trying to bring us back, because it's time, he says. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, now sanctification is a divine decree. What's this divine sanctification? What's this sanctity of sanctities? It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve, to go even beyond what God gave to Adam. That's why on Holy Saturday night, we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. We thank God that Adam fell. How can we thank God for what the way we're living now? Because of what God is going to bring upon the earth, the new heavens and the new earth. And, you know, you have to go back to John Paul II. He's the closest one at this point that can really show us what this is about. He says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And at the canonization of St. Honorable de France, what does he say? He says, we're now going to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness. Are these just words? Are these just his hopes? No, I think the Holy Spirit was speaking through him very, very clearly that a new beginning has to happen. Why? Because of this divine decree of sanctification. This is what the Book of Heaven is all about. So what happens is we recognize that we want Jesus to reign in us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to reign in us. We want that. As it was with Louisa, as our triune God lived in Louisa. And again, it's very, very clearly, it's very clear that he says, clasping me to himself in all tenderness, he tells me. That's what happens when we read the Book of Heaven. The same thing happens to us. And our Lord is teaching us how to allow him to clasp himself to us in all tenderness. Okay, like a father hanging onto his little baby daughter. This is what, when you hear Jesus embracing Louisa, when you hear Jesus kissing Louisa, I've heard people go, oh, that's gross. That's, you know, oh, that's awful. That's a father does that with his little baby girl. He holds her. He adores her. He loves her. He kisses her. He holds her. He hugs her. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Clasping me to himself in all tenderness. So God is teaching us how to allow the Lord God Almighty to hold us in his arms as he held Adam in the beginning. And when he breathed that ruah of God, that breath of God into Adam. This is what God is getting us ready for. So little by little, as we enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, nobody possesses this fully yet. It's little by little. And when that day comes, and Jesus tells Louisa, when that day comes, when the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven, when the souls begin to receive this fullness of life, and Jesus is getting us ready for that. This is what Galatians says. All of Revelation groans for the revelation of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. That's the divine will. That's what's coming. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there. And our Lord is trying to tell us, you know, if you're dooming and glooming, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, this isn't the life that our God wants for us. Our God wants us to begin to live a life of children. Children laugh 90% of the time. When you hear children, they're excited, they're laughing, they're exploring, they're living. Grown-ups laugh 10% of the time. You know, grown-ups or grumps, they're not very happy. My spiritual director told me a long time ago when I was in the seminary that he says, if you know a priest that's not happy, that's not joyful, beware of them. There's something wrong. Saint Francis said the same thing. Saint Francis says, if you're praying and you're not filled with joy, you're not really praying. A lot of us have been overwhelmed with doom and gloom. Yes, there's going to be a chastisement. God is going to set everything in order. Yes, it's in our time, it seems like, very, very clearly. But we have to listen to what Pope John Paul II said. Get ready for the third millennium. We've been in it now 21 years. Get ready for the third millennium. the glory of God, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind is here. We've got to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. So we, how does this happen? Jesus wants to clasp us to himself. He's going to teach us how that's going to happen and tells us, my daughter, if you are tired, you are tired. Rest in my arms. Okay, so with this exhaustion that comes in life, it's not to enter into worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's to enter into the peace, the joy, the happiness of a little one in the arms of God, resting in God, trusting in God, believing in God, hoping in God. It's not Christian hope isn't, oh, please, please, I hope, I pray, I hope. Christian hope is certitude. I'm going to go and rest in the arms of my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my all. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Again, to rest in God, to begin to live this abundant life that our God wants us to begin to possess. Okay. And if we fall asleep, we're resting in God. I know that it might sound, you know, you've got to be determined to stay awake. But what happens with Louisa, she says, I try and try and I just fall asleep. That's grace. And we have to understand that God is in charge. And he's asking us to rest in him. He says, if you're tired, rest in my arms. We have to discipline ourselves to be those little ones in the arms of our God. How much the kingdom of the supreme fiat costs me and you. How much it costs the Blessed Mother. How much it costs Louisa. This is what our God wants us to remember. How much it costs our God, our Savior, our King. He took upon himself all of our sins. What's nailed to the cross is our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. It doesn't belong to us anymore. We have to begin to live that life, the life that Our Lady had at the foot of the cross. Complete confidence in God, trust in God. Her hope was certitude. And that's how Louisa lived. She was brought to the point of trusting in God completely. So when the Lord said to her, stop eating, she stopped eating. Stop sleeping, she stopped sleeping. Stop walking, and she stopped walking. Now for us, that might happen later on in life. But what our Lord is asking us is to trust in him. If he asks us to go through what Louisa went through, that's a whole nother thing. But you need a spiritual director to help you. If you think, well, I'm not going to eat anymore. Life isn't starvation. You know, when we starve, our body starts to break down. I mean, we can't survive. We begin to do everything with, in, through, and for Jesus, as Jesus does everything with, in, through, and for us. So instead of starving, like St. Francis did, he called his body brother donkey. Let me just put it that way. He called his body that, and he says, if I knew, you know, that I was going to die this early, he said, I would have treated you better. It's not to hurt yourself. It's to say to the Lord, I want to begin to enter into this abundant life. I want to begin to enter this life of peace, joy, and happiness. Lord, I want to be one with you. So instead of, you know, 2 spoons of sugar in your coffee, you just put one in. You know, it's to say to the Lord, yes, I want to fast, but it's not starvation. So again, I remember one person said to me, you know, I'm going to give up food for 40 days of Lent. I said, well, that's starvation. You can't do that. Well, I want to do that. I said, you can't. That's not what the church teaches. So again, we might have some grandiose ideas of doing something for God, but you've got to follow what the church is saying. So that's very, very important. So he says, how much the kingdom of the supreme fiat costs me and you. So we are the ones, Jesus tells Louisa, we are the firstborn of the divine will with Louisa. What's the firstborn? The firstborn is, since Louisa was alive till now, or until the kingdom is established, these are the firstborn of the divine will. We were part of that firstborn. We are the ones that Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to use you. He says, not like the saints. The saints knew how to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God, we're being taught that. So Jesus is saying to us, we're at this time where you have your human will and we are being taught the divine will. So we're in this struggle. And this is why confession is so important. Going to confession weekly is good. Biweekly is good. But it's important that as you go to confession, you're going through, you're confessing basically how we aren't completely living in the divine will yet, with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So what's happening is the Lord is teaching us. He's teaching us. So we are the ones that are stuck in the middle, if you want to say. Here's the saints. Here's everyone living in the divine will. And here we are. We're the firstborn. We're the little children of the divine will next to the firstborn, Louisa. This is where we are. And Jesus says that the crown that we will have, we will be known in all eternity for the ones who fought daily with their human will to live in God's holy divine will. And that's the struggle that we're in right now. So what does God do? He tests us. That's number four of the six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. It's, I'm going to test me. Lord, test me. I don't want to live in my human will anymore. But you, Lord, have to test me. You have to train me. And that's where we are today, where we fall continuously. You know, somebody who in our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, who comes to us and, you know, pushes us, if you want to say, to get to the point of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And that's, Jesus is saying, you haven't learned yet. You haven't learned how to be peaceful in all situations. You haven't learned how not to complain in all situations. You haven't learned yet how not to be negative in all situations. And so we're tested every single day. And this is why confession is so important for us in the divine will. We've got to get to that point that which would annoy us doesn't annoy us anymore. It's fiat. We're one with Jesus and Mary. Fiat. Jesus hung on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mary cooperating with Jesus on Calvary. So God is going to test us to see whether or not we are true to what Jesus is teaching us. So that's so important. So he says, again, how much the kingdom of the supreme fiat costs me and you. We're going through it every day. We're learning how to say fiat in all situations. We're learning how to be peaceful in all situations. We're learning how to be happy in all situations. That's what God is teaching us. While at night, all the other creatures, some sleep, some enjoy themselves, some reach the point of offending me. For me and you, there is no rest even at night. What happens is when we go to sleep at night, we should teach ourselves, train ourselves what Jesus taught Louisa. Jesus, I want to sleep in your arms tonight as the little one, as a newborn in the divine will, as one with the firstborn in the divine will. I want to rest in you. I want to be one with you. And in training ourselves to do this, again, what happens is we are rested to get up for another day of testing, another day of trial. Yet there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. Why? What happens? You get to that point, and we're not there yet. We get to that point where everything is peace, joy, and love, happiness. This is the life that Adam had before the fall. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that they gave to Louisa. So testing is important. If we can't pass the test, the gift isn't ours. I mean, Jesus teaches us this. You have to have the test in order to God says to us, you can go to the next step. And that's what he's doing. He's really such a great and loving God. You, and he's now talking about Louisa and us, occupy yourself with writing. We occupied ourselves with reading. And I, with watching over you, Jesus is right there with you. He knows what you're going to read. As the Word of God, he knows what words you're going to read, what words he, as the Word of God, is going to bring to life in you. He watches over us. You know, how are you reading? Are you trying to be focused? He says, imparting to you the words and the teachings that regard the kingdom of the supreme will. He's teaching us with his word, the teachings and the life, the love of the kingdom of the divine will. It's beginning. He says the kingdom of God is within you. He's opening that door of the kingdom in each and every one of us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. It's very important that, you know, you say to Jesus, that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, there's so much to read. What am I going to read? Ask Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to read today? He's the Word. He's speaking to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. How do we know? Because Jesus wants us to begin to hear his voice. Okay? There's three voices. There's our own voice, which is confusion. There's the devil's voice, which is misery. And there's God's voice, which is peace, joy, and happiness. And we have to learn which voices, they all sound the same. All the voices sound the same. It's not that you hear them, but your question. And all your questions, Jesus tells Louisa, are answered in the book of heaven. If you have a question, just keep on reading. And it might not be the first time that you read it, because you might miss it, because you can't hear yet. It might be the second time you read it. It might be the third time. But as you read, every question that you have is answered. It's very, very clear. Why does Jesus call this book the book of heaven? Why does Jesus say to Louisa that there are many, many books on the earth, but there's only one book that will transform a soul? And he says that is the book of heaven. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, everything makes sense. Sacred scripture comes alive. Your breviary comes alive. When you read the saints book, they become alive. What's happening? Jesus is saying, this is what they were talking about in doing the will of God. Now I'm going to teach you how to live in the will of God. And everything becomes alive. Why? When fiat lux was said, when the word was fiat lux, let there be light, billions of galaxies were created. With one word, fiat. Same thing now with our Lady. When she said fiat mihi, she gave that yes to God. And the incarnation took place. We bow, we kneel at that point. The word became flesh. The angels are still astonished by that. God Almighty became human. A man, God-man. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, when we learn that may your kingdom come and reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the priest says on Ash Wednesday. Remember, man, that you are dust and dust you shall return. Yet God wants to change this dust into the image and likeness of God as he did with Adam in the beginning. That's what sanctification is all about. This is a glorious time to be alive. And God has given us the book of heaven. He basically says to Louisa, if you have the book of heaven, he says, Jesus says, I gave it to you. I planned for this from the beginning of time. I don't care what human gave it to you. I planned for this. And I know what you're going to read. I know what you're going to study. I know what you're going to put into practice. 30, 60, or 100 fold. I know what you're going to do. But he says, I want to see your desire. I want to see you wanting this, possessing this. So that's what God is doing. So he says, very clearly, you occupy yourself with reading, with writing. We occupy ourselves with reading. And I, watching over you, imparting to you the words and the teachings of God. Jesus is doing this. That regards the kingdom of the supreme will. Why do you think canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, the Holy Father would say, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness? I mean, the Holy Spirit was revealing this to him. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be complaining about. See, what has to happen is Jesus closes one door to open another. And that's what's happening. He says to Louisa, very, very clearly, you, Louisa, are the key. You must be the key. What is this key to? It's the key to the new heavens and the new earth. It's the key of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Who's going to use this key but the Holy Father? The keys that Jesus gave the Holy Father 2,000 years ago through St. Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. It's not many churches. It's not many religions. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd, Jesus tells us. This is what's coming. How can we be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? Jesus, you're in charge. You're in charge of your holy church, and you said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I trust you. I've got complete confidence in you. But what does it mean that the gates of hell will not prevail? Does that mean that they stand 1,000 miles away? No, they're going to attack the church. They're going to attack the church inside and outside of the church. It's a full attack. All the heresies of the church are coming against the church at once. It's not just one heresy at a time over the centuries. It's all of them are attacking. Why? It's final chance. You know, we remember Leo the 13th had the vision in 1884 where the devil said, give me 100 years. What happened between 1884 and 1984? You know, what happened? You know, all that was attacking the church has been happening for that 100 years, but it even continued from 1917 to 2017. The attack is still going on, but it's over. God's 1,000-year reign is coming. And we have to begin to live this. That's why, what does Pope John Paul II say? Listen to his talk on the resurrection. He says, we are a resurrected people. We live this abundant life of Jesus resurrected. That's what Jesus taught Louisa. He says, we don't rise from the dead after you die. Jesus says true resurrection is when you rise from the dead before you die. Yes, we will rise at the end. The bodies will rise from the dust. But Jesus says, I want you to begin to rise now, to begin to live this abundant life now before you die, on earth as it is in heaven. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father. That's what's coming. So Jesus is saying, why is there worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? Why? You know, if you read the last chapter of volume 8, Jesus tells us where the why comes from. Why this? Why that? Questioning God. He says it comes from hell. And it was spoken by a demon. So we got to get rid of the word why. If you are an authority, a parent can say to his child, why have you done this? A teacher can say to the student, why have you done this? But to question God, why, he says, it comes from hell. And what happens, that word why disappears from our vocabulary. It's, if you listen to the Blessed Mother, she said, how can this be? I want to please God in all things, but I don't know man. How can this happen? How can this happen? How can I help God to bring this about? You look at Zechariah, you're going to be the father of a child? Yeah, yeah. Like that's going to happen. A doubting. For that, you're a mute, the angel said to Zechariah. But for Our Lady, with her, how can I do this to please God? So when a difficult situation comes to us, there's two ways to answer it. Why is this happening to me? Or how do you want me to go through this, Lord? You're asking me to go through a suffering, maybe physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. How can I do this to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? It's very, very important that we understand what God is doing. So Jesus says, I am watching over you. I am imparting to you my words, my teachings that regards the kingdom of the supreme fiat. And while I see you write, while Jesus says, while I see you read, so as to have you do it at length and not become tired, I, God, sustain you in my arms. Do we believe that? That's what Jesus is saying. When you're reading, I, God, will sustain you so that you will not become tired. So that you may write, we may read what I, God, want to be able to give all the teachings, all the prerogatives, all the privileges, all the sanctity, and the infinite divine riches that this kingdom of mine possesses. So what's happening as we're reading? He's saying, I'm giving you all the teachings, prerogatives, privileges, sanctity, infinite riches of the kingdom that I, God, possess are now yours if you want it. And that's where he says, do you want 30%? Do you want 60%? Or do you want 100%? I have to give you what you want. How much do you want this? How much do you begin to understand that God Almighty is offering to you all the divine qualities of God that was breathed into Adam? As much as is possible as a creature can possess. That's the sixth step of the teachings of Our Lady to Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom on the sixth day. That we will receive all the divine quality. Jesus said, I'm going to make each one of my children a divine masterpiece for myself. Not for humans, for God. He's saying to us, I want you to let go of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin, so that I can bring about this divine masterpiece that I have had in my mind from the beginning of time, of my children. Possessing what? What does he say? He says, the teachings, the prerogatives, the privileges, the sanctity, the infinite riches of what? The divine qualities of God. As much or as little as you want. It's up to us. God has a plan. What is our plan? Is it fiat? Let it be done as you say. Echoing Our Lady. He says, if you knew how much I, God, love you, if you knew how much I, God, delight in seeing you sacrifice even your sleep and all of yourself for love of my fiat, which is so much loves, which so much loves to make itself known to the human generations. That's where we are. God is doing this. God has got this planned. And all that he's asking of us is, do you understand what I am doing? Why you are alive today? Why you are Catholic today? Why you receive Holy Communion every day if you wish? Why, he says, you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament adoring me and loving me and praising me and thanking me and blessing me and worshiping me with my adoration, with my love, with my glory. It's not the human understanding anymore. That's what Jesus is teaching us, to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. He says, why? I want to give this to the human generations. I want to bring about a new beginning. That's why John Paul said, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. That's why Our Lady has said that. Why are they, John Paul II said, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What does he say in the last chapter of volume 24? He says, all nations, starting with the Jews first, everyone will become Catholic. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the Jews, the atheists are all going to turn back to God. Why? What God has planned is so amazing. What God is going to bring about is so astonishing. Jesus keeps on telling Louisa, if you knew what I was going to do, if you knew how much I love you, if you knew how much I want to fill you with divine realities, he says, you would be in heaven. It costs us, Jesus says, very much. So Jesus is saying how much it cost him dying on the cross for us and for the last 2,000 years. What Our Lady did at the foot of the cross and for the last 2,000 years. Why is she appearing so often now? She's getting us ready. What? For the return of her son. For the new heavens and the new earth, she says, is coming. It costs us very much. It is true, my daughter, to repay you almost always after you have written and I have let you rest on my heart. It's the same thing. Is after you have read and I let you rest on my sacred heart. That's what God is doing with us, which is overcome with sorrow and with loves. With sorrow that my kingdom is not yet known. We don't know it yet. We don't understand it yet. Jesus says, when I see the souls who embrace my divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. Or otherwise it would be given to the world. So there's more that we have to do. There's more that we have to read. We have to study. We have to put into practice. He says, the sorrow is my kingdom is not yet known. We do not yet know this. I've heard people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. You are. You're living in the divine will. You're there occasionally. And as soon as you worry, fearing, so anxious, complaining, negative, and sinning, you're not in the divine will. It's got to be continuous. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. And that hasn't happened yet for all of us. So he says, the sorrow is my kingdom is not yet known. And with love, he says, with which I, God, want to make it known. So that in feeling my sorrow and the fire that burns me, you, and he's talking to Louisa and he's talking to us, may sacrifice all of yourself and spare nothing. So that the kingdom of my triumph, my divine will be on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God is waiting for. He's given us this gift. You have the book of heaven. And now Jesus says he wants us to enter into this abundant life. You will be reading. You will be studying. You will be putting this into practice. And little by little, that's the great hope. Little by little, he's revealing to us. He's explaining to us. He's filling us with these divine treasures, these divine secrets. That if you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that he gave to Louisa. And as we're reading this, it little by little, the kingdom is manifesting itself to us. Little by little. How? By the word of God, Jesus Christ. By the word of his mother, Theotokos, the Blessed Mother, Mother of God. To whom? To the newborn, Louisa. And Jesus says, I want you to be the firstborn with Louisa in the divine will. To want this, to live this, to love this, so that the kingdom can be on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, And we pray that all the little children of the Holy Divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.